Radio Show, brought to you by WomenAboutBiz.com, empowering you with the tools and resources to start and grow your very own business. Well, hello, successful women. This is Trina Newby, your host and business success coach, broadcasting to you live this Monday, March 28, 2016. And as always, bringing you inspiration, motivation, and ways to make your business, your dreams, and your ideas a big success. Well, I trust that everyone had a wonderful Easter and that you spent time remembering the one who sacrificed that we might live. I'm talking about Jesus Christ himself. His words and his wisdom have definitely helped me to live a more successful and abundant life. Well, I personally am ready to be the driver of my success vehicle and lead my business to the next level. And I want to encourage all of you to embrace this powerful thought path as well. Have you ever been a passenger in a car where you didn't, you know, concern yourself with where the driver was going? You knew the route and were familiar with the directions, but you trusted that the driver knew the route as well. So instead, you enjoyed the scenery. You allowed your mind to wander, perhaps started even browsing your cell phone. And when you looked up, however, the driver seemed to be going in the wrong direction. Well, guess what? The same thing can happen with us in business. When you're not leading your business and staying focused on the priorities, you can look up and there are no new sales, no communications going on with your customers. You have generated no new leads to work with, and no new revenue is being generated as well. When you stop being the driver of your business, you definitely will leave your business open to the wind, and anyone can be the driver taking your business in directions that you never meant for it to go. So I want to encourage all of you who have been listening to the show to keep in mind our theme for the entire year of 2016, which is indeed taking control in 2016. You know, taking control, it's literally all about just that. It's about making the decision to be the driver of your business. It means that you are no longer going to sit in the passenger seat, but that you are going to increase your leadership skills. You are going to learn new ways to start thinking like a leader and driving your business to success. And that's what it's all about in being a successful businesswoman. You know, one of the things that I definitely know that we have to do as businesswomen, and that is that we must have our hands on the pulse beat of our business. And in order to do that, we must be able to continually evaluate our business and know the areas of business that we should be working with. So all of this year at Successful Woman Radio and at Women About Biz, it is our goal to make sure that we are covering specific topics that are going to help you to not only, you know, grow your business, but we want to help you to grow as a leader as well. So I'm excited about today's show. First, let me just say I am so disappointed right along with all of you on last Monday. We had some serious tech issues going on. We were receiving a deadline with our show. We couldn't get it live on the air. And that disappointed many of you who were waiting to listen. So what we have done is we've actually recorded the show that should have been on last Monday, and we will be getting it up on the SuccessfulWomanRadio.com website no later than Wednesday of this week, so that you'll be able to go back and listen to the pre-recording, okay? So we'll get that up for you. In the meantime, you know, I want to make sure that you have your Successful Woman Journal out, which is just a simple spiral-bound notebook. Get ready to take some good notes because we've got a great lineup for you today. We've got 5 questions to help you take control in 2016. And of course, we're going to continue on with our book of the month, The Girl's Guide to Building a $1 Million Business by Susan Wilson Solovic. I'm very excited about that book. And then, of course, We'll be reading from Chapter 3, Get Ready, Set, Grow. And then I'll be sharing with you some upcoming events at Women About Biz. We've got our group coaching event coming up. We've got Business Women Night Out events going on. We've got some wonderful things happening, and so I want to share that with you. Our March theme, you know, we always have a sub theme for every month. And our March theme has been Wealthy Woman, Wealthy Mind. It's all about strengthening your mental wealth, which is the root of all wealth, both mental and financial. And today, I am going to be sharing with you 7 principles of financial wealth. And I know that you are all going to absolutely love this particular topic. And again, it's 7 principles of financial wealth. So this is just a really great time right now for you to flash over on another line or to blast out on your social network that Successful Woman Radio is live. Share the show with at least one other woman that you know needs encouragement. She needs to be inspired. She needs to be motivated. She wants to be in a positive environment where she's going to receive information that will help her to thrive. Well, that's what Successful Woman Radio is all about. For those of you with a pen in hand, the show phone number is 347-637-2589. Again, 347-637-2589. Have them to dial into the show and just, you know, let them know that Successful Woman Radio is live right now. For those of you, again, who listen to the show from your desktop or from your smart device, thank you so much for continually posting in the social media networks that Successful Woman Radio is live on the air. And again, you can let individuals know that they can dial in using the number 347-637-2589, or they can listen directly to the show from their computer or their smart device by going to blogtalkradio.com/Successful Woman Radio, spelled all the way out. Again, you can listen to the show from your computer or your smart device by going to blogtalkradio.com/Successful Woman Radio. I'm so excited that you guys are with me today and listening to the show. I'm going to go ahead and move right into 5 take control questions for 2016. Now, every year at the beginning of the year, I come up with a set of questions that are going to help me in being more successful in my business, questions that are going to remind me of what I need to be keeping my mind focused on. And so when I come up with those questions, of course, I want to share them if they are helping me. And indeed, these particular questions are helping me really big time. The first question in the 5 take control questions is, am I clear on my business goals this week? Again, am I clear on my business goals this week? Again, ladies, here's what's so very, very important that you need to know. First of all, you need to understand that you have to plan out your whole year's calendar. Really, that's what you should be doing. Okay, because when you don't think about your vision and when you don't think about what it is that you would like to experience for the whole year, what happens is you tend to stray from what you really want, from what your priorities are. So when you ask yourself the question, am I clear on my business goals for this week? Really, those goals should be an extension of your quarterly goals, which, you know, helps to support what it is that you want to experience overall for the year. Okay. Now, what I recommend that you do is every Sunday evening, somewhere around the 7 or 8 o'clock hour, or before you go to bed, get out your calendar. Okay. And then look at your goals and look at what it is that you're trying to accomplish for the week. Now, keep in mind that the whole purpose of being in business is to make money, right? So all goals that you list should be enhancing that thought path in some way. So make sure that that is happening. And then look and see whether or not on your calendar, then you have listed for appointments, for activities that's going on. Ask yourself, is it really supporting the goals that you want to accomplish? It is so easy, ladies. It is so easy to think that you are doing the right thing and that you are busy contributing to your business growth. But at the end of the week, a lot of the times, it's not surprising when you will see that, hey, I've been real busy, but nothing has related to the goals that I wanted to accomplish. So that's what this question number one is all about. It's about getting clear on the goals that you want to accomplish and then looking in your calendar and making sure that all of your appointments, all of your activities, your to-do items, making sure that they are supporting that. And that leads me right into question number two of five take control questions for 2016. Have I identified the tasks necessary to accomplish my goals? Again, have I identified the tasks necessary to accomplish my goals? So it takes more than just listing out what goals you want to accomplish, but then you have to drill down and take it a step further and make sure that you have identified the to-do items, the tasks that are required for you to accomplish the goal, right? And then, of course, keep in mind that sometimes as women, we get stuck right there at that area of writing down the task. And we wonder at the end of the week, why didn't we get it done? Well, oftentimes it's because that task is presenting a challenge. So as we identify the task to support our goals, let's make sure that we drill down enough to also ask ourselves, you know, is there any challenges to me accomplishing this task? Do I need to delegate it or am I able to do it myself? Okay, because you don't want to get stuck with accomplishing your weekly goals. You want to move forward. Here's question number three. Am I being the leader of my business? Now, this question is very important for myself. And I've talked to several other business women who say this question really is a huge question for them as well. You know, it's very easy to be the passenger. And I talked about that earlier at the beginning of this show. It's very easy to be the passenger of your business and to kind of just kind of let things pass you by. But when you want to grow your company, when you want a thriving business, you have to step up and step out and be the leader of your company. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's a little bit lonely sometimes, right? But if you do what you need to do as the leader of your business, you're going to start seeing your business grow. That requires you. A leader has to evaluate the business. A leader has to make tough decisions as to whether or not they should keep certain products in the company or whether or not they should keep certain services on the list of services. So it's tough things that the leader has to do. The leader also has to look within and ask herself, are there skills that I'm lacking that require me to be a better leader? And if so, how am I going to handle that? What am I going to do to make that better? So I want you to keep that in mind as well as you look at being the best leader you possibly can be for your business. Now, there's nothing better than creating a job description for your company, for yourself as the CEO, because once you create a job description, this is going to let you know automatically what you personally should be doing every single day. It's going to let you know what role you should be playing, how you should be leading your company, because you've already created a job description. And when I talk to a lot of my clients and other women, and I ask them, do they have a job description for their business? Oftentimes they say no, right? And this one question, do you have that job description, is something that when you say no to that, it means that you're really not clear on what your responsibilities are as the leader of your company. So number three in five take control questions, am I being the leader of my business, is very pivotal. And it's important for you to answer that question honestly, okay? Here's number four. Am I following through on leads, opportunities, calls, and emails? Now, these four areas are indeed four of the most important things that you should be doing every single week, okay? And if you don't have a follow-up system, then that's where the problem can begin, because based on your business and the business culture that your business has, guess what? There's a certain way that you should be generating your leads, finding your opportunities, calling individuals, and emailing out your updates, your e-newsletters. But only you can identify that. So you, again, have to determine if you are following through. And again, ladies, you can ask yourself these questions of as often as you need to. I like to ask myself these questions right along on Sunday evening as I am preparing for my business week, so that not only am I looking at my calendar and making sure that all of my activities and my goals are supporting, you know, my overall vision, but I'm also asking myself these questions to make sure that I put myself in check as the leader of my company. Last but not least, here's question number 5 in the 5 Take Control questions for 2016. Am I allowing the numbers to tell me the truth? Again, am I allowing the numbers to tell me the truth? Well, ladies, let me just say something to you about this, okay? The numbers is what you should always trust, and it is because the numbers are always going to tell you the truth. Marketing in and of itself is a scientific process, and if you understand the law of average in marketing and how important it is that you build your mailing list and that you have multiple people that are following you, you have a prospect list of multiple people. If you begin to understand why those numbers are so important, then they are always going to lead you down the right path. But those numbers that I'm talking about here in this question also pertain to your checking account. If when you look in your checking account, you don't have numbers that reflect that your business is growing, if your numbers are telling you that you don't even know if you have enough funds in your account to make payroll or to pay your accounts payable or to even pay yourself, then you've got to let those numbers tell you the truth, because as you know, as the saying goes, the truth will set you free, and it will here in business as well. Why? Because when you allow the numbers to tell you the truth, the next step is you have to determine what are you going to do about it if you don't like those numbers. Okay, either you will make the decision to step up and step out and be the leader that you need to be, or you will just allow those numbers to keep dwindling downward and not your company not growing at all. So here are 5 take control questions again, and let me just repeat them. Number 1, am I clear on my business goals for this week? Number 2, have I identified the tasks necessary to accomplish my goals? Number 3, am I being the leader of my business? Number 4, am I following through on leads, opportunities, calls, and emails? And number 5, am I allowing the numbers to tell me the truth? Ladies, it's about keeping focused on your business goals and knowing the results that you want to see. Guess what? That's what it's all about on the journey of business. So I want to, again, encourage you that as you drive on this journey of business, I want you to be the driver. I don't want you to be the passenger and just putting all of your hope and faith in the driver who you may or may not know. I want you to take responsibility, take control, and start leading your business to the next level. It is 18 minutes after the hour of 12. And again, for those of you that have just dialed into the show, this is Successful Woman Radio, and I'm your host and your business success coach, Trina Newby. And I want to thank you so very much for being a part of the show today. I want to go over to Women About Biz and just let you know about some of the things that are going on. If indeed you are visiting Women About Biz and you notice some different things going on over at the website, you know, maybe you're seeing things moved around a little bit. Well, guess what? We are making some nice changes to Women About Biz, and we are going to be sending out a mass email letting everyone know of all of the final changes that we have made. But we're moving things around in the website to accommodate some wonderful new channels. We're also creating our city locations so that you will be able to share and take a look at all of the various cities that we're located in. So we're getting all of that stuff organized for you. But one particular change that I want to let all of you know about that I'm so excited is our community. Our community has a revamp, and we have given our community a name, and I'm so excited about this. It's called Biz Connect Her. Again, Biz, B-I-Z, Connect, C-O-N-N-E-C-T, Her. And Biz Connect Her is where business women connect, share, and thrive. So through Biz Connect Her, we will be pushing our social connections. We will be letting you know about all of our networking events, all of our networking trainings going on through the Networking Academy. And so there is no better time than now to go ahead and join Women About Biz. And if you're already a member, there's no better time to go ahead and update your profile, because we're getting ready to really be very committed in growing our Biz Connect Her social community. Now, if you'd like to take a look at the new community view, go to womenaboutbiz.com and simply click on community in the top red menu bar, and it will take you directly to Biz Connect Her. But you have to be logged in, however, in order to update your profile or to see all of the different changes. So make sure that you logged in. One of the new things that we're doing at Biz Connect Her in the social community is that we are going to be profiling or highlighting the profiles of many of our silver and our gold members. And so, again, we're going to be doing this through our Facebook fan page of Women About Biz, where we will be highlighting and profiling our members. And then also, we're having a new Biz Connect Her weekly community news, where we are also profiling and highlighting our members and letting others know what you're up to. So this is why it's so very, very important to make sure that you are definitely updated profile in the social community. So again, to get to the social community, simply go to womenaboutbiz.com and click on community. Now, if you're at your computer, you can also type in the internet address bar, biz, B-I-Z as in zebra, connecther.com, and it will take you directly to the Biz Connect Her social community at Women About Biz as well. But I just wanted to let you know some wonderful things that we've got going on with that. And then, of course, one of the things that we have happening within the social community is our 100K movement. Now, we are very serious about the 100K movement, because we know that business is all about numbers, and that when you can add multiple women who could be potential resources for you or potential clients or customers, we know that that is a good thing. And so our goal is to increase the Biz Connect Her community by 100,000 women. And I know that this can happen, but it can't happen with just one person alone. It's going to happen with all of us embracing the 100K campaign. So I want you right now to imagine women from around the world connecting, sharing resources, referring, and using their power to help one another. That's what the 100K movement is all about at Women About Biz in our new social community called Biz Connect Her. Our goal at Women About Biz is to foster collaboration, partnerships, and connect women and establishing one of the largest private networks for businesswomen in the United States. And I know that we can all make this happen. So again, when you log in and you go to Biz Connect Her, and again, you can reach that by going to bizconnecther.com, and it will take you directly to the community, or you can reach Biz Connect Her by visiting womenaboutbiz.com and clicking on community in the top red menu bar, and it will take you right there. I think the most important thing is to make sure that your profile is updated, because, you know, think about about it. There is nothing like visiting another businesswoman's page and it's empty, right? So you want to update your profile and you want to make sure that you're paying attention to the Biz Connector community. Now, another thing that we will be doing to foster participation in the community and keep everyone engaged is that we are going to start having prizes in the community for those women that are participating. They're going to have the opportunity to win various prizes. It could be products and services from other members who've donated the prizes, and Women About Biz will also be providing prizes as well as it pertains to helping you grow your business. So stay tuned because we're getting ready to gear up and work very hard at fostering connections, new relationships, and creating a positive environment for women to network. Now, I know many of you are very used to going to Facebook and connecting and Facebook or what have you. And that's a good thing too, right? But we wanted to have a community that was a private community for business women who are specifically interested, not just in selling their products, but they're interested in building long-term business relationships. And so therefore, they aren't just interested in their promotional flyers and banners, but they're also interested in sharing business information. They're interested in sharing about other things that they have learned about and around the internet. They're also interested in building their credibility and sharing their expertise as well. So that's the kind of community that Biz Connector is all about. So again, you heard it here first. You better take a look at it and you better get on board. And again, if you are not a silver or gold member at Women About Biz, take advantage of the membership. Try it out and see how you will like it. I want to go ahead right now and I want to move right into our book of the month, which is has become kind of one of my favorite books, The Girl's Guide to Building a $1 million Business. Again, The Girl's Guide to Building a $1 million Business. And I'm going to be reading from Chapter 4, Create the Vision. Again, I'm going to be reading from Chapter 4, Create the Vision. Author Susan Sulovic says, "Buried in the day-to-day operations of the company, it's easy to get tunnel vision about your business. Your nose is to the grindstone every day getting it done. Such a limited perspective may be the biggest reason business owners fail to seize growth opportunities. Myopic vision limits your ability to think about the big picture. Before your business can grow," she says, "you should be able to articulate a clear vision of where it is you want your company to go." Sounds simplistic, doesn't it? But it's not. She says, "Define the vision of your company. A vision statement is sometimes referred to as a picture of your company in the future, but it's really so much more than that. Your vision statement is your dream, your inspiration, your framework for all of your strategic planning. To create the vision for your business, step away from and take a fresh look at your company," she says. "What's happening in the world today? What are the market trends? This is your chance to gaze into your crystal ball and see into the future. Imagine there aren't any constraints such as money, people, or resources. What direction would you take? What will your business look like? The vision is all about what it is you are going to do, not how you're going to do it. It's not about execution. I find it helpful to get away from the business for a few days in order to think about the vision of my company. You might also go on a retreat with some of your key advisors, your employees, and spend the time brainstorming. If that's impossible, at least get away from your work environment. I'm sure you know there are far too many distractions there to think about vision." Michael Gerber, who is a well-known small business expert, has a new program he calls In the Dreaming Room, Awakening the Entrepreneur in You. She says the program consists of a weekend seminar designed to be a place where entrepreneurs can practice a new kind of dreaming he calls intentional dreaming. "The surprising reason that most small businesses fail is not because their dream is too big, but rather too small, too realistic. It isn't big enough to sustain more business life." Talk to people outside your company and ask them what they see. When you are entrenched in the daily operations, you might be missing revenue and market opportunities because you simply don't see them. You may be amazed at some of the growth and revenue generating ideas that are right under your nose. And, you know, I just want to, as a side note, ladies, I just want to say she couldn't be more true about this. Sometimes you are so focused, or you can be so focused on all of the busyness of your company that you aren't thinking about the vision of your business at all. But again, take note, ladies, because this is why I say it's so important for you to develop an annual business strategy of what you would like to experience for the year, so that as you break down goals to support all of those strategies and what you want to accomplish, you have more clarity. You know where you are going. Back to the book, in the section Articulate Your Mission, the author says, once you've envisioned the future and know in which direction you want your business to go, it's time to create a mission statement and a value statement. These become the foundation for everything else you do in your company. Together, they define the strategic strengths of your company. They also establish the character and voice of your brand and articulate where you are headed. She says a mission statement is a brief description of a company's fundamental purpose. A mission statement answers the questions, why do we exist? The difference between a mission and vision statement is that the mission statement focuses on the present state of your business, whereas the vision focuses on the future. She says a mission statement should never be more than a few sentences that define what your company delivers to your customers, employees, and the community. To draft a mission statement, she says, start by listing your organization's strengths and keys to success. Then think about how your business relates to the marketplace. List all of the qualities and then select your top three or four and begin to formulate sentences that describe the core essence of what your business does. Don't throw something together. Okay, and I think that's very, very together. It's an important element of your business, and it should be treated as such. Okay, very, very important. Next, she says, communicate core values. Your growing company also needs a value statement. A value statement not only says what your company stands for, but it also creates the character and the voice of your company. It helps employees and customers, clients understand the type of company with which they are dealing with. These values should never be compromised under any circumstances. Melanie Bergeron, who now runs Two Men and a Truck, says she worked with her team and came up with the following core values to help define their company in a competitive market. And here's what she said. Integrity, to always conduct oneself in honesty, with honesty and fairness. Her next value was give back to the community. A portion of every move the system completes is donated to the American Cancer Society. And then she has something called the grandma rule, to treat everyone the way you would want your grandma to be treated. And then she has be your best and have fun, to be the best professionally and personally while enjoying life and having fun. And then lastly, Melanie said about her company values with Two Men and a Truck, inclusion, to welcome people from all backgrounds in the workplace and in the community. Of course, once you have completed your drafting of your mission and value statements, they need to become a permanent part of your company's culture, you know. And then she goes on in this chapter three, which is such a great chapter, Create Your Vision. She goes on to say, create the right business plan. She says, business plans have been referred to as the water for a thirsty plant. They keep businesses alive, thriving, and vital. If they have a plan at all, many entrepreneurs keep it in their heads and never take the time to write it down. There's a television commercial where the wife points to her husband's head and says, our sales figures are all in there. That's pretty typical. Most entrepreneurs often manage with a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants approach, relying on their street smarts and intuition. If that has worked for you so far, hey, that's great. Good for you. But listen to me carefully, she says. If you don't plan for growth, you may grow, but it's unlikely that you will be able to sustain it. Have you ever seen a chicken slaughtered for Sunday dinner? Well, I have. I grew up in the country, quite a bit of time on the farm when I was a little girl, she said. So I had the opportunity to watch this activity a number of times. She says, when you cut off a chicken's head, you have to hold on really tight because if you don't, it will get away from you and start flapping around all over the yard. Although the headless chicken stirs up quite a ruckus, I guarantee you, it's dead. You might wonder, where am I going with this crazy story, she says. Well, it's a simple analogy. If you don't plan your business growth, it's just like a chicken. You might flap around for a while, but your company will be just as dead as a beheaded bird. Planning for growth is essential. According to PricewaterhouseCoopers survey, two-thirds of CEOs of fast-growth companies report having some type of growth plan in place. Former President Dwight D. Eisenhower once said, plans are nothing. Planning is everything. The exercise of drafting your plan is more important than the actual plan itself because it makes you think through the next steps and focus your strategies, expenses, revenues, and profitability. When I look back on some of the initial business plans we wrote for SBTV.com, I have to chuckle. While our core business strategy has stayed on target, our business has evolved and matured over time. Some of the ideas we had early on just didn't work and ended up not making sense at all. A good business plan isn't meant to be written once and never touched again. It changes as your business changes and evolves. The value, she says, of writing the business plan is the actual exercise of writing it. So, ladies, there you have it. Just some really good tips from the book, The Girl's Guide to Building a $1 Million Business. And I think when I read this book and I look at it overall, really, Susan, and the author, is really talking about taking action and stepping up to the plate as a leader of your business. And that's why this book is becoming such a favorite book of mine, because it's really getting the businesswoman to pay attention to why it's important to be the leader of your company and to step up and to take responsibility for your business. It is 36 minutes after the hour. You are listening to No Other Than the Successful Woman Radio Show. This is your host and business success coach, Trina Newby. Don't forget, you can go and listen to all of our previous broadcasts by visiting the website womenaboutbiz.com or go directly to successfulwomanradio.com, and in the right-hand column, you will find the player where you can play the latest broadcast of the show. Right now, I'm going to go ahead and go right into our hot topic for today. As you know, our theme, our sub-theme all this month of March has been Wealthy Woman, Wealthy Mind. And the whole premise behind that is that in order for you to be wealthy both mentally and financially, that mental wealth first has to be grounded. It has to be the very thing that you pursue and follow after in order for you to create financial wealth. And so these seven principles that I am going to share with you today, I think it's going to resonate with you. I think you are going to really appreciate the seven principles of financial wealth. And again, for those of you who are listening to the show, it is not too late for you to go ahead and to share the show with a woman that you know needs encouragement, needs to be inspired, needs motivation. You can share the phone number with her by simply flashing over and dialing her number and saying, hey, get on Successful Woman Radio. The phone number for the show, with those of you who have pen in hand, is 347-637-2589. Again, 347-637-2589. Okay, let's go ahead and move right into seven principles of financial wealth. And I hope that you guys have your journals or your notepad ready and to go and that you're ready to take some good notes. Here's principle number one. Principle number one in seven principles of financial wealth is that you must release all fear and power that you place over money. Now, this is a big one, and this is the very first of the seven principles. You must release all fear and power that you place over money. You know, a lot of the times when I talk to clients, when I talk to other business women, and I ask them, you know, what's holding you back from accomplishing a particular goal? Oftentimes, fear and money are the top two. They will say, well, you know, I don't have the money to do this, or, you know, I don't know if I'm going to have the money to do it. And then I'll ask, well, how long have you had this goal? And they'll be honest. They'll say, well, I've had this goal for about 5 years that I, you know, want to accomplish it. And I'll say, in 5 years, you've never been able to have the money or get what you needed to do in order to accomplish this goal. And they'll say, yeah, I just can't seem to make it happen. But then when I go back and I say, okay, so let's drill down and let's get to the bottom of this. Okay. It's been 5 years, for example, that you have been wanting to accomplish a particular goal. You didn't eliminate the goal. You are saying that it's still something that's a passion of yours, something that you want to accomplish. So let's talk about what you say are the issues about fear and money. Okay? Let's talk about money. Have you actually sat down and created a plan to come up with the money that you need in order to accomplish the goal? Have you been able to figure that part out? And then most of the time, I would say about 90% of the time, they will say, no, I've never really sat down and came up with a plan. So tell me why it is that you say that the reason why you haven't accomplished goal is because you don't have the money. So oftentimes it's that they're referring to the fact that maybe I don't have the money in my checking account now. But what I find is that as women, sometimes we think so broad and so general that we don't drill down and we don't ask ourselves questions that may very well help us to accomplish whatever goal that we have. And so I want to say right now is that if you have a fear about accomplishing a particular goal, whatever that fear might be, you need to understand that the only cure for fear is to take action on it. Because once you start taking action on a fear, fear has a tendency to leave. As a matter of fact, one of the things I like to say all the time is that you have to tell fear to get its behind in the back seat and strap in because it's getting ready to go for a ride. That means that you're going to drive your car, you're going to lead your car on the path of success, and you're going to strap fear in. But what you'll find oftentimes is that fear will unbuckle its seatbelt and it will jump out of the window. It doesn't want to be involved with anything that you're doing that's positive, that's going to keep you moving forward. Fear is automatically going to leave. And so by you taking action, you are letting your subconscious mind automatically know that regardless of what you are feeling right now, you are in control and you are going to take action on it. Therefore, your subconscious mind yields to what you want and the fear dissipates. So again, remember that fear, the only thing that can cure the fear is taking the action. Now, let's talk about the money, because a lot of women place power over money, okay? But here's what I want you to know about money. Money is basically an intangible object. It's something that was created to become an end result of a transaction between the seller and the buyer. So why do you think we give so much power to money? Why do you think that is? Okay? Because it's what money can do. It's what money can buy. And so therefore, we have this tendency to give power to an object, something that doesn't even breathe. It doesn't even have life. Right? So we need to really put things into perspective and make sure that we don't use money as an excuse for why we aren't being successful or for why we can't do something. Because remember, you create money. Money does not create you. Money, again, is the end result of a transaction between the seller and the buyer. So keep that in perspective the next time you say you don't have money. If you don't have money, it means that you need to set your behind down and you need to create a system to generate the money, right? You need to create something that's going to cause a transaction between yourself and a buyer, okay, that's going to generate revenue for yourself. Here's principle number two. Take immediate action in investing in your financial knowledge. Okay? Take immediate action in investing in your financial knowledge. You know, we invest in a lot of things as women, but oftentimes we don't invest in the right things. We need to start investing in ourselves, investing in our knowledge, okay? Because financial knowledge is vital for wealth. This includes seeing a financial planner, purchasing budgeting tools, going to workshops and seminars, buying books, all the resources that will empower you to make wiser financial decisions. So you have to be willing to invest your time and invest your dollars, your money, into getting more financial knowledge. For example, if you're in business right now, what bookkeeping system are you investing in? Right? QuickBooks, for example, is very inexpensive. They've made it very reasonable, whereas you used to have to go out to a office store and buy a $200+ software. Now they have it to where you only need to pay about, anywhere between $9 and $21 a month, and you will have an online updated bookkeeping software that you will be able to keep up with all of your financial expenses and payables. So again, think about drilling down when you say you don't have money or when you say that you actually need to get more financial knowledge. Make sure you know that the resources are out there for you better than ever and that they're inexpensive compared to what it used to be. Okay? Very, very important. Let's take a look at principle number three. All financial wealth begins with financial goals. Let's repeat that because this is worth repeating. All financial wealth begins with financial goals. And this is so very, very important. When you are starting a business or when you are trying to grow your business, you've got to know what your financial goals are going to be. You can't just start a business and never take a look at how much money you want to generate in that company. Okay? So you really need to set financial goals both on the personal side and also on the business side. Okay? Here's principle number four. Bad debt pulls you away from financial wealth. Can I get an amen on that? Because it's so true. Bad debt pulls you completely away from your financial wealth, from your financial goals. And the one thing that we need to understand is that our country here in the U.S., credit cards have literally have been a culprit, I would say, in destroying a lot of credit. And we must understand how to use credit cards and why it's very, very important to make sure that you never go over the 50% rule with the credit card. So if your credit limit is, $3,000, that means that you shouldn't spend more than $1,500 on that credit card, and then you should try your best to pay off every month, whether this is a revolving account or whether it's an American Express, it doesn't really matter. Your goal should be to pay off your credit card every month. This is why you want to be very careful about multiple credit cards. And what happens is that a lot of the times bad debt is created when you don't have the amount of money necessary to pay the minimum monthly billing. Okay? That's what happened, and that's what creates bad debt. And so another thing that gets a lot of women in trouble is be very careful about creating revolving accounts where the minimum payment is very small. Let's say it could be $15 to $25, and you're thinking, I can handle that. Well, what happens is that you can trick your own self subconsciously to continually to get multiple credit cards where the minimum payment is $15 to $25. But what if you had 10 credit cards where the minimum payment was $25? Now you're owing out $250 every single month, and it may not be in your budget to do that. So you have to be very, very credit conscious. The other thing about bad debt that you need to know is that another thing that creates the bad debt is that oftentimes women use credit cards and revolving credit as an emergency method, or they use it as an emergency tool. So in other words, I don't have money, I need money, therefore I need to gravitate towards something that does have money. And a lot of times women look at this and don't ask themselves the question, here goes that drill down again that we need to be doing. They don't ask themselves the question, how am I going to pay this money back? And can I pay it back on a consistent level? And can I pay it back in 30 to 60 days? So instead, you're using it as a urgency or an emergency, and we can't allow ourselves to do that. So principle number four is very, very important, and it should be all of our goals as business women to have debt-free companies. But when we need business credit, when we need to go ahead and get a line of credit, we need to make sure that our company is financially healthy, because if not, bad debt is going to pull us away from creating financial wealth. Let's move on with principle number five. Principle number five is financial wealth starts with building a positive cash flow. Let me repeat that. Principle number five is financial wealth starts with building a positive cash flow. Ladies, no matter how small the amount, it's important that you start saving right away. Whether it's $5 or $50, you've got to start now. I know a lot of women-owned companies where they have never paid themselves and they've been running their business now for 5 years, but they've never taken anything out from themselves. So I want to urge all of you that are listening to the show today, if you have not already, I want you to go start a savings account that is just for business alone. And I want you to start taking out a percentage of all of the monies you receive and placing it in that savings account, because financial wealth starts with a positive cash flow. And no matter how small the amount, again, it's important that you start saving. Here's principle number six. Financial wealth only enhances what you already enjoy. How about that? You know, we've heard so many times of individuals that have won the lottery that are broke within a year. I mean, it's like, how do you win $40 and $50 million, especially when you've never even had that much money in your entire life? I know a lot of people ask that question of themselves after they hear about these tragic stories of people winning astronomical amounts of money, and then they lose it. Well, remember when I've been talking about being the driver of your success and how important it is for you to drive? Well, all of those people who won the lottery and lost it in a year, they were not the driver of their success. Instead, they allow other people to drive their success car. So those people drove them right back to the poorhouse, right? Drove them right back to having no money at all, because they did not have the leadership skills necessary to make good decisions about how to handle all of that money. And unfortunately, a lot of the accountants and the lawyers and all of the other people who they had under their employ did not give them the right advice as well. So again, I want to definitely encourage you to understand this sixth principle, because you can win all of the money in the world, but if you're not enjoying life right now, If you can't enjoy the simple things, the small things, then no amount of money is going to take you to another level or an enlightened level of joy. It's just not going to happen. So financial wealth, ladies, only enhances what you already enjoy. So it's time for you to start enjoying what you have. And that's all a part of mental wealth. I think on one of the shows I mentioned the fact that I've heard a lot of women say something to the effect that, you know, when I get a 6-bedroom house, or when I get a larger house, or when I move into a new house, I will consider fixing up the house at that time. But the house that I'm in right now, it's old, it's ran down, and it's no use in me putting any money into it. I'll just wait until I can get my dream home. Well, that kind of thinking is actually poverty thinking. It's poverty thinking because you're waiting on something to come for you to take action on bringing joy into your life. And it shouldn't be that way. You should want to walk into your home and have an incredible experience. It should be your serenity. It should be your place of safety, of where you go to get away from it all. I've had many women to share with me that, you know, they have checked into hotels sometimes to get away, and I like doing that too, but they wish that their bedrooms could look like a hotel bedroom. And I said, well, what's stopping you? The environment that you want to have in your home, enjoy it now, so that as you begin to grow financially and you are able to purchase a new home, then the monies that you have is going to enhance what you already enjoy. Okay? Here's principle number 7. Bless the lives of others with your financial wealth, and it will come back to you. Oh, how I know about that. We should be in the blessing business. If we're expecting to be wealthy, then we should be understanding that wealth is not something that you can keep all unto yourself. You must realize that you have to bless the lives of others with your financial wealth, and it will come back to you. Don't allow fear of the thought of losing your wealth control your good intentions. Give to others. And it doesn't matter how much money you have. You can always take a certain amount of money and give it to those that don't have. Or as my mother used to say, there is always going to be somebody that's worse off than you. So whereas you think your $50 may not do that much for someone else, it could be like $50,000 to them because they don't even have 50 bucks, right? So you can always take the amounts of money that you have right now, even if it's creating a Toiletry shoebox, and you make your decision that each month I am going to purchase, you know, 5 shoe boxes and decorate them and fill them with wonderful toiletries and take them to a women's shelter, because I know what it's like, you know, not to have the right type of toiletry. So I can only imagine what it's like for women who go to a shelter where they leave their home, they leave everything, or they are homeless and they don't have the right types of toiletry. So you can make a decision to bless the lives of people in a lot of different ways. So principle number 7, bless the lives of others with your financial wealth, is very important. And so when you hear that, don't think that you have to wait to be extremely wealthy in dollars in order to bless the lives of another woman or another child or someone else. Okay, here it's so important. This principle, this last principle, number 7, bless the lives of others with your financial wealth, and it will come back to you, really sums it all up about love, loving other people, and making sure that you understand that your business is people dependent, right? And without people, you cannot be successful. A successful woman is not an island alone all by herself. It's required for us to reach out, build relationships, and to help as many people as possible. So there you have it, ladies, 7 principles of financial wealth. And I've just had a chat. Someone asked me if I could just quickly go back over the 7 principles. Here they are. Number 1, you must release all fear and power that you place over money. Number 2, take immediate action in investing in your financial knowledge. Number 3, all financial wealth begins with financial goals. Number 4, bad debt pulls you away from financial wealth. Number 5, financial wealth starts with building a positive cash flow. Again, don't forget to set up your business savings and start putting money in it, no matter how small. Number 6, financial wealth only enhances what you already enjoy. Number 7, bless the lives of others with your financial wealth, and it will indeed come back to you. Here's an affirmation for you to practice and say to yourself: I was pre-installed with the talent, ability and power to create my mental and physical wealth. Again, I was pre-installed with the talent, ability, and power to create my mental and physical wealth. Therefore, I will embrace the beliefs, habits, and positive self-talk that will support and lead me on the path to wealth. Now, I'm going to type that out and put it on successfulwomanradio.com for you guys to pick up and print it out for yourself. But again, this is a beautiful affirmation. I want to remind you about some things going on at Women About Biz as we get ready to put some closure to the show. Don't forget, if you're local here in Atlanta, we've got the Business Women Night Out events going on. And we also, for those of you who are national, all over the place in various states, we have our Busy Woman Virtual Networking. Don't forget to check that out over at womenaboutbiz.com. And if you've ever been interested in real estate investing, check out our webinar coming up on March 31st, Real Estate Investing, Ready, Set, Go with real estate expert and maven Sonia Booker. It's coming up on March 31st. It is going to be a very interactive webinar, so you might consider taking that. Well, we've come to the end of the show, ladies, and it's been so wonderful to be with you today on the show. I want to remind you to mark your calendar for next Monday, April 4th, as we begin a new month. Our theme for the month of April, of course, is going to be Spring into Success, and I'll be honoring Women About Biz members who are making it happen in their business. So definitely mark your calendar for all of the Mondays in April. This is your host and your business success coach, Trina Newby, saying success is yours for the taking. Have a productive and a powerful week, ladies. God bless. Bye-bye.